Hey, what's up, Frop fans? You may have noticed that it's Friday, and we're only posting the podcast today.
Frogcast Friday!
Yeah, for that I apologize. Since Ben was down south getting chemo or some crap.
I fucked it all up, guys.
Just dicking around, so we had to use my computer, which is really old.
It's a MacBook Amateur.
Yeah, it's for
blogging only, no audio.
Right, and so we recorded the whole thing, and then I clicked stop, and it pinwheeled for a while, and then it just...
We got in some of it, though.
We got some of it.
I think you got about an hour or so of frottainment. We got some of our name game, where we went through, and someone else had made a bracket of the sweetest names of the year. And we got some fun out of that. So you get most of that, I think.
Yeah. No, they get like the first round.
First round. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway... sorry about that, and next week, Ben will be back, so we'll have that to worry about. So, thanks for listening.
All right, everybody. It is another edition of the Film Drunk Frotcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we don't have too much technical difficulties because I am blooped in from my mom's place in the Bay Area. This is Ben. We got the whole crew. We got Super Blogger Vince.
Hey.
We got future NFL Hall of Famer Brendan.
Hi.
We have Brett live from New York.
Hello.
And we have super comedian, the funniest man we know, Matt Lieb.
Boom, shakalaka.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, like I said, thanks everyone for joining us. We're going to have there's a name tournament. What would you call it, Vince?
It's a name tournament.
All right, name tournament. There's some awesome names that we're going to go over. We're each going to pick some of our favorites. We're a big fan of awesome names, so we'll get into that. Maybe talk about some movies. I actually saw World War Z, which no one else saw. Did you?
No.
No, I wouldn't recommend it. Although maybe the first half, it feels like two different movies.
It wasn't good?
Well, do you want to get into it now?
Oh, well, whenever.
Okay. Matt, unfortunately, got his gigantic bike, which is like it's like one of those bikes with a huge wheel in front.
Uh-huh. There's a name for those. Yeah, it got stolen right in my house.
So that's not called a big wheel. The tricycle thing that you sit on is called a big wheel. Yeah. What is the one that actually has the big wheel?
There's
called
a name for it. I wish I knew what it was. I bet it's on the internet.
Probably called a hipster bike now.
Yeah, at this point, it's called like just a Portland motorcycle.
Should I Google how come?
Yeah, Google. Oh, yeah, we could do some Googling of how come. That'll be fun.
Oh, it's called a penny farthing.
There it is.
Really?
See? I told you it was a weird name. Did I tell you that? I forget.
Penny farthing, high wheel, high wheeler, and ordinary are all terms to describe a type of bicycle with a large front wheel and a much smaller rear wheel that was popular after the bone shaker until the development of the safety bicycle.
Everyone rides safety bicycles.
Is that
now
what we're riding?
The pre-safety bicycle era was one that was fraught with danger.
Well, the bone shaker is a pretty ominous title.
God, our entire last seven generations are all pussies.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went from the bone shaker to the high wheel to the safety bicycle.
So, Ben, what was your thoughts on World War Z?
So, actually, the first half was better than I thought. Well, first of all, I did read the book. Did anyone else read the book?
No. It's by the guy who did the survival guide, right?
Yeah, but the book was good, so it was...
It was by Mel Brooks' son, Max.
That you are correct, sir.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
It's totally wild. It was actually well done. It was a fun oral history of sort of well thought out of a potential zombie apocalypse. And, of course, zombie stuff sort of played out. But the book was fun, and the movie had nothing to do with the book except for the fact that there's a lot of zombies. So what it felt like is the first half was kind of fun. And it was like that sort of zombie wave of everything was kind of cool, which you saw in the trailer was like ants.
Yeah, the human ant.
It was kind of cool because it was just totally overwhelming. And that was kind of fun. And then the second half ended up in this laboratory, basically.
Uh-huh.
And it felt like they ran out of money. And so it was like this big swashbuckling action CGI adventure. And then it ended up just this like totally dumbed down in a laboratory with Brad Pitt sneaking around. And it felt like I would give the first half a solid B, maybe even a B plus, and I give the second half a solid D, D minus.
Well, Ben, maybe you missed the subtext, because from what I know of zombie movies, they're always a metaphor for something. Like, it could be globalization or the corporation or
consumerism.
I mean, you can never have a zombie movie that's actually about zombies, at least according to the directors of zombie movies.
What about corporate consumerism?
Ooh, that could be because they're consuming, you see. All
right, so it's a B plus / D minus.
Yeah, I'd give it a C overall. It was a pretty, I was impressed with the first half, and I think Lindelof, Vince's boy Lindelof, came in.
He tweeted an article of mine today.
I saw that. That was excellent.
Oh, nice.
How many clicks did you get?
Oh, dude.
All the clicks.
I'm just making it rain on Matt Lieb right now from all the click dollars.
So many clicks.
I got a question for you, though. What are the actual good zombie movies? There's so many fucking zombie movies, and almost all of them are terrible. Right, I like
you're going to yell at me for right now, but you know what? Night of the Living Dead, I don't like it that much.
Oh, I saw it when I was very young, and it scared the shit out of me.
Really?
So it's always kind of stuck with me. I don't know if I see it again today, if I feel the same way. It might just be a piece of garbage. Here's what I do like. The remake of Dawn of the Dead from like 2002.
That was
excellent.
That was good. You know what else is good? Return of the Living Dead.
28 Days Later.
Yeah, like 28 Days Later.
What's Return of the Living Dead? Is that the really campy one?
Yeah, send more.
Cops.
Yeah.
The original Dawn of the Dead is excellent as well. A little bit different, kind of slow, but very nostalgic 70s movie. Yeah.
I'm a bad person to ask about this because I've always thought zombie movies are really stupid, even like the good ones.
I liked Shaun of the Dead a lot too. I thought it stood on its own as an actual zombie movie in addition to being kind of a send up of it.
Have you guys seen Ghosts of Mars?
No. Is that the one with Ice Cube?
Yeah, Ice Cube's in it.
Really? I never even heard of that movie.
Is that about zombies?
I don't know. I've never seen it, but I feel like it was.
They got zombies out there this big?
Yeah. I feel like it
was
a zombie.
Keep them zombies
movie.
Out the street.
Yo, they got zombies on Mars, son?
I should probably Google it and see if it is a zombie movie, but I think it is.
Well, here's the thing about World War Z.
If it was about zombies, or even if it's not about zombies, there's probably some scene where he just says something really stupid and obvious that's like played for laughs as like the token black guy. Like yeah. He like steps outside and he's like, "We on Mars now."
It's kind of like how celebrities, like the more famous you are, you say the most obvious thing and people take it for inspirational advice. Mm-hmm, it's kind of like that in movies where, like, if you're the black guy, you could just shout the most obvious thing and then it's comic relief for some reason.
Because you're like, he's saying what we're all thinking.
Yeah.
And what's happening. He's saying exactly what's happening.
It's because he's so uninhibited.
Yeah.
So is that that's a pretty short list. We got like 28 Days Later. 28
Days Later
Dawn
was really good.
True.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I mean, I mostly have to plead ignorance.
Shaun of the Dead.
Actually, there was at Fantastic Fest, which is just
Zombieland.
It's good.
How was Fantastic Fest, Vince?
Zombieland was all right. The ending was fucking retarded, though.
I forget.
Oh yeah, Zombieland was fun.
The beginning 2/3 was good, and then the last 2/3 was like one of the dumbest things ever.
Oh, at the carnival.
At the carnival.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it was really agreed. Dumb. That was fun. That was a solid B movie, though.
Yeah. So Fantastic Fest was great.
What did you do?
I shot shotguns with Keanu Reeves.
What?
Really?
For real?
Yeah.
How come that's not a bigger deal?
How come?
Well, because they took us out shotgun shooting, and they're like, "Oh, Keanu Reeves is going to be there." And then we got there, and he was. But then we split into groups of like six, and he wasn't in my group of six.
Oh.
So. But
still.
Yeah. I mean, still, it happened.
Did you meet him?
No, not really.
I like how you almost said yes.
Well, it was like if we were hanging out in a circle and people are talking, but I never like talked to Keanu Reeves. To, like,
so you never touched him and said, "Hello, I'm Vince from Film Drunk."
No.
I do a lot of Photoshops of you.
No, I did not.
Did he seem
cool? Spend a lot of
farm?
Time on your pixels.
Yeah, he did. I mean, when he talks, he definitely, you know, I mean, he's Keanu, so he sounds pretty much
like Keanu.
He pretty much sounds like,
like
Ted
Neo
from Bill and Ted when he talks.
That's cool.
He's got that.
That's good. I'm glad that he never lost that, you know?
Yeah. But the reason I brought it up was because they do this one night that's like where people have a debate and then they box afterwards. And one of the debates was over whether 28 Days Later was indeed a zombie movie. Since they're not technically dead, they're actually just
it's a rage virus.
Rage virus. Yeah.
Right.
I think it would
Oh God, I would watch that debate for hours on hours. I could just listen to people talk about the minutia of whether or not something's a fictional thing, just probably for the rest of my life.
Right? Like, does this fit into my narrow idea of what a genre is? And because that's really important.
I mean, how personality free do you have to be to have that argument with any human being?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they're actually zombies, because this one time I read... fuck.
It's like the conversation should be no more than 10 seconds long, because you talk about it and you're like, well, they kind of are and they kind of aren't. And then you're like, yeah, I agree. And then that's the end of the conversation.
And then you box.
Right. But it didn't go down like that. They talked about it for much longer. So
what were the highlights of Fantastic Fest?
Okay, I saw a lot of good movies that I enjoyed. I liked Why Don't You Play in Hell, which is by Shion Sono, this Japanese guy. I don't know if you've seen any other of his movies. I hadn't. Sort of like Three Stooges meets True Romance, like really out there, wacky sort of thing. And then I saw the one about the detective with Down syndrome, which was called Detective Downs. And
it's a good title.
And you guys all know, I remember pitching my idea for the buddy cop movie called The Officer Downs to you like last year or the year before, where I wanted like one of them to be a white guy and one of them to be a black guy, and it was sort of like interracial buddy cop movie.
But they both had Downs.
No, one of them had Downs, and then the other one had cerebral palsy. So it was sort of like a See No Evil, Hear No Evil. You know,
right,
Gene Wilder is blind or
and
deaf,
Richard Pryor
and Richard Pryor's blind, but it was like. The guy's had cerebral palsy, so he's got a sharp brain, but his body doesn't work as well.
Right.
And then the guy with Down syndrome, he wouldn't be that sharp, but he'd have like strength.
Yeah,
he's got this thick neck, and he could just like
he's got so that
he
retard wrestle. Strength.
Yeah. He's really good at wrestling.
Yeah, exactly. but it wasn't like that. It was actually sort of just like this nice sweet noir comedy. Which is disappointing to me.
Did the lead with the Downs?
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Was he real?
Yeah, he was
real. Or was he in Down's face?
No, he had Down syndrome, had legitimate Down syndrome, and he was there at the screening. Now, get this. Remember the guy with Down syndrome from Crash Reel?
Uh-huh.
And how, like, sort of shocking it was, how just insightful and stuff he was?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this guy is Norwegian, and he did the entire Q&A, like, in his first language.
Wow.
Like, he did an entire Q&A in English.
Wow.
And I took 4 years of Spanish, and I've... you know, spoken a lot of it. I'm not sure I could do an entire Q&A in Spanish.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I couldn't.
You could do it with a Spanish American accent.
Yeah, I sure could. The movie was very good. I don't even...
You really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
I could talk about fixing your blinds with a...
Your blinds?
Yeah. And then I saw another one. Now, let me know, what do you think about this? So I saw this one called Narco Cultura, which is about sort of the drug gangs in Juarez, and basically they're just like murdering the shit out of
is
each other.
Is it documentary or
documentary,
fictional?
Yes. And it's two guys. One guy is a CSI investigator in Juarez who's basically just picking up like millions of headless bodies every morning and...
Because if they don't have the heads, they can't identify them, and it's not a murder, right?
Yeah.
So I'm serious. Like I thought it was something like that.
No, I mean, they just...
Well, it makes it a lot harder. They cut off their head and hands, right? And then it becomes a real pain in the ass to...
I don't think they can. I think it's more just they're sending a message to each other. So they're just like, you know...
Just throwing heads at each other?
Basically.
Dang.
Playing soccer.
Yeah, I guess that makes more sense because it's not like the cops can do anything. They...
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
that was
the other weird thing. This guy works as a CSI investigator, and... They can basically never solve any crimes because, I mean...
No one will ever cooperate.
Well, no one will cooperate. There's just dead bodies on the street, and then most of their, like, people higher up in the department than them, there might be corrupt and
right. All
sorts of shit. So, like, it's like the solve rate on murders is, like, 2% or something like that. And
Damn.
even so, people in his division that's like 20 people, like three of them get murdered over the course of filming. Like,
damn.
They basically just have to go from work to home to avoid getting murdered, which is weird to me because why are you murdering the CSI guys when they're not solving any cases at all?
Because they could.
Yeah. And so while this is going on, there's this guy in LA who writes those narco corridos, and which are super popular. And it's amazing to see those translated because they sound like, you know, your nice Mexican circus music. But then when you translate them, it's like we're crazy and bloodthirsty and we like to kill. And it's all about, it's not even like Tupac where he's mad at someone else. It wasn't like I like to murder. It was sort of just like I will murder you because I'm a badass. This isn't even like I'm a badass. It's just like we like to kill people and it's awesome. And then the guys on stage will be like holding a bazooka and the people in the crowd are like singing along.
God
and
damn.
It's super popular and it's really weird. So anyway, the question I have is like the movie after a while, it just gets really depressing because there's really no good.
Right. There's no redeeming quality to it than like the martyrdom of all these policemen. It's like, well, they're dying for a good cause.
Yeah.
Like, well, not really.
Yeah, it's pretty much you go in hopeless and then you leave even more hopeless. And I didn't know whether, like when I reviewed it, I didn't know whether that to hold that against the director or not.
Did you feel bad later that night when you were doing cocaine with Keanu Reeves? For the trouble that you've caused.
So many CSI agents died for this coke.
Yeah. I was about to say this to a guy at the bar, and I was like talking. He's like, "So how'd you like Narcocultura?" And I'm like going into it, and he's like, "Oh, this is the director behind me." And then I was like, "Oh, hey, how's it going?"
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of respect to the director who's gonna go fucking film the guy in Juarez.
Yeah.
While this shit's going on, no thanks.
Can I ask? Was the director in the movie as like a main focus of the movie?
No, he wasn't. Like I think maybe he heard his voice once or twice, but okay. No, he wasn't in it at all.
So it was like. Like Vice TV, but better is what I'm hearing.
No, Vice, because Vice, they're always in it.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Better because they're not in it.
Right, I could see this being something that Vice would want to buy.
Yeah, I could see it being something that Vice would do, except for if there's not, like, if it's not from the perspective of East Coast hipster, then they don't want to do it. They're like, how can we make this, but with, like, a guy in it going, like, where am I? What's happening, man? It's crazy here, guys. Like, we fucking know. You just point and shoot.
Yes, so true.
Is that Vice Twitter account new? It's got like the parody. It's like a Vice parody.
The Vice is hip.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
What is it?
Well, the best is the parody account Vice is hip will retweet regular Vice, and it's totally indistinguishable.
What is the parody?
It's Vice is hip.
And so basically it's just like the most outlandish shit.
I like when I ask Brett to explain something and he explains it not at all.
I mean, I would have to think of a specific one, which I can't off the top of my head, but basically something along the lines of,
all right,
you know,
shut up. Next month we find out why 97% of North Koreans believe Will Smith has always been the U.S. president. Meet the autistic teenage brothers from Minsk who bought a hospital with the money they made selling stolen laptops.
Okay, stop. So the account is called Vice is Hip and it's a picture of a parrot.
What? No, there's no parrot.
What
is this? Where are you getting that?
Didn't they say weird. A parrot?
I heard parrot at some point.
It's a parody. It's a parody.
Okay.
Jesus.
And so it's a parody of Vice called Vice is Hip. All right.
Yeah, and okay. So their headlines fall into like...
Parrot, I heard parrot too, but okay. I figured that was just a word. That it's a parrot account. It's like, yeah, I know about Twitter.
They should call parody accounts parrot accounts.
Yeah.
Because it's all bird related, you know?
Yeah.
So like their headlines fall into three major categories, and it's the we take blank drugs with blank bad people in blank foreign city, or find out why blank underprivileged people are blanking some new dance or cultural thing.
Blanking some new dance.
Or it's just a retweet from the actual Vice Twitter account, which is either one of those other two things.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what's cool about Fantastic Fest is you'll be talking about a movie and then the director will be right there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Or
so, Vince, what's...
I got driven home drunk by the lead actor of one of the movies I saw.
What's the overall...
Ben, they can't hear you when they're talking.
No, I can hear you now.
You'll learn this the hard way.
Oh, I learned it long ago. Even when I'm in the room, it doesn't matter.
Go ahead.
What's sort of the overall theme? Like, what are most of these movies coming from, and what sort of movies are there?
I mean, theoretically, it's like a genre film festival, but I mean, it's, for the most part, it's just stuff that the Drafthouse people liked, and you know, they're sort of people after our own own hearts. Like the award ceremony, they, you know, it's like a regular film festival awards, but if when you get an award, it's like a mug of beer and you chug it while taking a knee on stage.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I approve of that.
Yeah, and lots of people. I met lots of people that were film drunk readers. A lot of people that were like in the movies and directing the movies that were winning awards were like, "Oh, I love Film Drunk." Blah blah blah.
Dang.
And
what's up, directors?
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Woo. And I don't know if you know this about people that go to film festivals. Like, I'm just let me see if I can set it up for you, and you could possibly guess. Like, if you had to guess the type of person who goes to Fantastic Fest, what would they look like, demographic?
Sweatpants.
Okay. What else?
Ponytails.
Mm.
They look like the Revengeancers from
Metalocalypse?
Yeah.
Put it this way. There's a lot of fat guys with beards. It's pretty much all fat white guys with beards.
That was going to be my next thing after ponytails.
Yeah, you know the guy that, from the Revengeancers that... ends up in a wheelchair with his fanny pack.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Where he's got the ponytail, big beard, probably a t-shirt from a cult movie.
Right, yeah, a lot of that. I definitely sat next to one guy. I forget what movie we were watching, but I sat next to this big fat guy in a beard. And the whole time I could hear him breathing. Like, he was just breathing so loud. And and he's sitting down. This is 2 hours of him sitting. I'm trying to imagine what it's like to sleep next to him, or like
what about walk up some stairs next to him?
Yeah, walk up some stairs. Oh,
or watch him like peel an orange.
Yeah, right. You mean like a fried orange or
no? Just a regular ass orange.
He's not gonna be peeling no fresh fruit, son.
Like a chicken based orange, like a orange inside of a larger pie.
Yeah.
So, is there a best in show type thing?
Yeah, I mean, they had a whole series of awards. I mean, there's a few categories. There's like horror and, you know, regular and comedy.
So how many movies did you see?
Like 10, 12, something like that.
Damn, son.
Over how many days?
Three.
Dang.
Four.
A lot of movies. Did you get some partying in besides just shooting shotguns?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Definitely got some partying in.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, actually, the night of the... I almost got thrown out. The night of...
Do tell.
The night of the Fantastic Fest debates in which Tim League, the Alamo Drafthouse head, fought Keanu Reeves' stuntman. So we got there. We drove out to this gym near the venue, and we each get three drink tickets, which was awesome. So I'm like, oh, you know, I finished my three drink tickets, but we're there for like 2.5 hours plus. Right. And so I go over to the beer lady, and I'm like trying to pay her for a beer, and she's like, "Oh no, we're supposed to limit you guys to three."
What?
I'm like, "Fuck that!" So at one point, I sort of just
it's called film drunk, not film buzzed.
I sidled up to the table, and you know they got the it's all bottles, and they've got the display bottles out there to show you what brand, what flavors of Shiner they have out there.
Oh god.
And I tried to just wait till she had her back turn and just like snag one and like slip back into the crowd.
Tried to steal a display bottle.
Yeah, I did.
A warm room temperature beer.
Look, times were tough, okay? Times were tough. I'd had three beers and they were trying to keep me from having more, which seems like, I mean, a war
that's
crime.
That's criminal, right? To someone like you.
And this is in Texas, right?
This is in Texas.
Yeah, that's got to be illegal in the state of Texas.
So I tried to steal
not
one.
Not in Austin. Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, seriously.
Tried to slip back into the crowd, and she actually followed me and made me feel like a little boy.
Wow.
Did she grab you by your ear?
Yeah, basically. I mean, more or less. She grabbed the beer out of my hand. She's like, we're giving more away now. You could have just asked.
Damn.
I was like, well, 10 minutes ago. You said I couldn't have one.
You know what? I did ask, lady, and now I had to steal.
Yeah. You see what you forced me into? Now I understand poverty.
This is what prohibition does to regular people.
I understand the cycle of poverty now.
A pox upon the Volstead Act.
So, yeah. That was that.
So it was a good time.
It was. It was a great time.
Was she hot?
She was pretty cute.
Do you think, like...
Did she get a number?
Yeah.
After you tried to steal beer from her?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Did you try to steal that pussy? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He's down a bike, you guys. He's a little out of sorts.
I got things going on in my life.
Yeah. All right. So that was that. I saw a Dutch movie in black and white, sort of a crime drama, and it was one of those things. I don't really get the black and white gesture anymore. Doesn't.
You mean like why they make movies?
Yeah,
in black
I don't think
white?
It's like it doesn't really
helps with the shadows.
Yeah.
You get a nice limited palette, so everything's one thing or another.
Yeah. Also, if it's about the Holocaust, then I kind of get it.
Okay.
Schindler's List might be the only black and white movie I've seen.
Really, ever?
No, I guess that was made after 1992.
All right.
Everything else, I don't know. That's a great question. Why do they make movies in black and white? Answer that.
I think it makes a strong statement, and that statement is I've seen Raging Bull.
Oh.
And that's about it.
That was in black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess there's some pretty shots in Raging Bull of like the water, like when he's in the pool and the water's like in slow-mo. That's pretty, I guess.
But you know, someone did it already.
Was Brick in black and white?
No.
Why did I think it was in
black? I have no idea. That was a good movie.
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
That's a great song.
Oh, yeah. It's Third about abortion.
It's a good song.
Didn't it seem like every song in the late 90s was about abortion?
Yeah.
It just got a picture of Gandalf, and it says use the force, and you're just fucking with people.
Love it.
All right, you guys. Do we want to play the epic name bracket game?
No.
I do.
Or.
Oh, okay.
Answer some emails. We got a few emails.
Let's do both.
Sounds like we're going to do both anyway. So.
Well, yeah, you just pick which one we're going to do first.
Emails.
Sure, let's do emails.
Okay. Nothing I say is my goal now is just to make Brendan interested. That's my goal every episode.
I'm trying to pull up the names.
Okay. Living with Guy Fieri.
Name game.
Thanks, Brett. Okay, I've never actually lived with Guy Fieri, but I lived a couple houses over from him in high school, and my parents still do. Guy Fieri doesn't exactly live in a mansion or anything. He lives in a regular middle-class neighborhood in Santa Rosa. Instead, he just bought the places on either side of him and has a whole row of houses for him and his family and his friends. Living down the street from him for 5 years, I hardly ever saw him. He's kind of like Bin Laden in Zero Dark Thirty. Reclusive, never seen in the light of day. I think I've only seen him in person 3 times. What I have seen, however, is quite entertaining, adding to the persona that is Guy Fieri. I think 2 of the 3 times I ever saw him, he wasn't wearing a shirt. He seems like that type of person. What I have seen quite often is a cycle of different cars and trucks, Cadillac Escalades, huge yellow monster trucks, sports cars of all models and colors, even a tour bus with his face on the front. When it comes to his trash cans, he had flames drawn on the side with red or orange chalk. These disappeared about two or three years ago. He also throws massive parties. I don't mean size-wise, although they can be quite big, but rather length of time. Several times he's thrown massive gatherings that will last over a week long. I'm talking cars lined up the street, starting each morning around 7 or 8 a.m. They aren't super rowdy, but I've always wondered what's going on in there. It could be a cult for all I know. These gatherings attract the most random types. Tattooed, fat old men who seem straight out of Sons of Anarchy, and young mothers with babies in tow driving Subarus from Utah or Idaho. It's really an eclectic mix.
Didn't somebody say they saw a Guy Fieri looking motherfucker at my wedding in Santa Rosa?
I don't know. I mean, there's got to be a few of them around.
A few Guy Fieris?
Yeah, but it could have actually been the dude.
I didn't see him.
Making a cameo at your wedding?
No. Like, I was talking to someone at the wedding, and they were like, yeah, no, shit was all blocked up because some Guy Fieri looking motherfucker in his car was, you know, taking a Sunday drive or whatever.
Oh, maybe it was.
Could be him. Who knows? Was it in a yellow Ferrari or a Lamborghini?
No, that got stolen, didn't it?
Well, I'm sure he's got it back now.
So Guy Fieri is who? Who is he?
is
he's
which
got a show on the Food
he's
Network.
Got the spiky
that's
hair
what I thought.
And
he's
the
food guy who does commercials for Friday.
And he's
with
got
the
lots
bleached
of,
hair.
He's got lots of rings that I assume he gets just flavor just caught in
and
there.
He's got like a Tiffany's bracelet that he wears, like one of those women, like you know, those like
the charm bracelets
yeah,
with all big, sorts.
Yeah, he's got one that looks
he's,
just like.
Oh, he's just got onion rings and like pork fritters. And,
yeah, he's got the big ear. He's got the big ear holes with onion rings through.
He looks like
he's got a choker with pork rinds on it.
He looks like the lead singer of like a 90s ska
Smash
band,
Mouth,
right?
Yeah, he looks like Smash Mouth.
Oh, that's what he looks like, Smash Mouth.
He's like the amalgamation of an entire dead culture.
No. Yeah, like
remember like all the shit you forgot that was
you liked
cool
it,
and right, immediately not cool.
Yeah, like, I had an ironic bowling shirt in high school.
Yeah, he's like 97 through 2004, just smushed into one man.
Bleach it was sweet. It was black and it had like red stitching with some dice.
Yeah,
and but back then that was novel and cool.
I had one with a martini glass.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had a chain wallet.
Yep, I did too.
Very long chain.
Yeah,
too long.
I didn't have one. That's why I couldn't hang out with the skater guys.
Were you a fruit booter?
No.
As long as you weren't a fruit booter, it's
yeah,
cool.
No, I wasn't that. What else? They had another name for rollerblades.
All I remember is Fruit Booter.
Yeah.
Fucking Fruit Booter's here trying to take over our skate park. We should have a sign. Let's make a sign. No Fruit Booters allowed. We never made that sign. But we thought about it.
All right, here's a good one for Brendan. Hey, Frock Cops, what do you think about the movement to change the name of the Washington Redskins? In my city, a minor league football team was forced to change their name, the Nepean Redskins, after pressure from local groups. Is tradition more important than being politically correct? Interested to hear your thoughts.
Here's my thought. I responded to this email and I basically said this, which is it's not something that I think about. And in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's a huge deal. There's like 8 million other things I'm way more worried about. But I guess I just get uncomfortable anytime I hear a bunch of white people just be like, yeah, it's cool. Yeah, like, don't worry about it. Like,
right.
Rick Riley had the column where he's like, my stepdad's half Navajo and he's cool with it.
You know? Right.
Yeah.
And he like takes pride in it. I'm like, yeah, it seems just kind of I never go like, hey, you know what? That guy's a good point. I was like, that guy sounds like a dick.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, as far as like the practicality of it, that's a whole other thing.
At worst, they get us some more hats to complaining white guys.
That's true. I guess. So sorry. I'm not resistant to it at all. I think they should change it. It seems kind of fucked up.
Yeah, to me, it's just like, I don't care that much. No one should care that much. So if people are mad, yeah, change it. Who cares?
Yeah.
Especially that one, especially Redskins, is pretty aggressive.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. Everyone can, even if you're not offended by it, everyone can kind of see why other people would be offended by it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's not as if it's a group that we haven't completely shit on and done really terrible things to.
Yeah. They lost that whole era between like 1700 to, you know, 1850 pretty much. Yeah. Was just us. picking on the Indians.
Did you guys see so Rick Riley wrote that column. He said his father-in-law is a Native American who's okay with it, so therefore it's okay.
Right.
And then, you know, he writes that sort of cutesy sports writer, you know, lots of one-sentence paragraphs and stuff like that. And his final paragraph is something like, all I know is this sounds a lot like the PC police saying, hey, don't worry about things. We'll do it for you. We're going to protect you. Kind of sounds like a reservation. It was like,
oh my God.
Wow.
Jesus.
Like, yeah, it was really bad. So
that's like the dude from, I think it was Bear Stearns, saying that the anger over investment bankers' bonuses is as bad and unjust as the lynch mobs in the South.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn.
Just like, whoa, dude. Have you never talked to another human being? Have you done rich that you don't have to ever speak to another person? Like, how could you even let that come out of your mouth? Even in context, that's terrible. Right. There's no context you could put that in where you don't sound like the most out of touch asshole on the planet.
So yeah, they should change it. I'd be lying if I was like, if I felt like I felt some sort of really strong moral obligation. But at the same time, we're talking about, I think if you don't understand, if you're making a big deal against it getting changed, I think you have a poor grasp of like power dynamics.
Yeah.
And it's like, Hey,
and priorities.
And, right.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean,
it's a corporation in the end. Like you've allied yourself with an entirely artificial. And look, football is fun to watch, and it's fun to get excited about a team. But that is a company. That's like you being super pumped up about Starbucks, and just like not even like Starbucks coffee, just being like, man, I just fucking hope they open a billion fucking Starbucks.
Some people are though. Like there's Apple fanboys, there's Disney fanboys.
Yeah. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm saying it's pathetic.
Yeah, and the majority of people who are like, no, they should not change it, they're not saying that because they're necessarily Washington Redskins fans. They're usually saying it because other people want them to change it.
Yeah. They're white people fans.
Right. They're fans of white people, and they're not fans of liberals who want to change things to be PC because they think that's next to fascism.
Well, I think they're both. I guess what it comes down to is on the very surface level, like without any other context, absolutely should be changed. It gets even worse when you sort of go back in the history of how historically racist the franchise was. George Allen. Is that right? Yeah, I think so. Sorry if
just
I
power
got
through.
That name wrong. Yeah.
No one's going to fact check you.
Right. Nobody fact checks the podcast.
I will.
Was the last owner to integrate. They integrated in like 1972. So there's a lot of history there of racial intolerance. In fact, a really big reason why there's a ton of Cowboys fans in sort of Maryland, Virginia, D.C., even like down to North Carolina.
Oh, I see where this is going, because I do not like it.
It was because they wouldn't integrate. And so a lot of those people just said, fuck you, we'll be fans of your bitter rival.
Mm. Oh, that actually ended better than how I thought. I thought it was going to be all refugee fans, and they were like, Texas will have our racism.
No.
That was actually a lot more affirming than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, people renounced Redskins fandom because of...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I replied to, I thought they should just rename it the Washington Dog Fuckers and show everyone and like make the logo me just flipping off everyone who didn't have anything better to do.
That's a better response.
Yeah. On the PC police and whether they exist and whether they're bad or good, did you guys happen to see the 300 sandwiches article that was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's come up twice today.
Yeah, everyone seemed to be talking about it today, and I don't really...
I got that. I read her about me and thought, wow, you are wasted on that human being. But I didn't think it was overtly power dynamics. It sounded like she's kind of dating a loser.
Since last June, a young woman has attracted attention from culinary world icons such as Emeril Lagasse, Michael White, and Ken Friedman with 300sandwiches.com, a beautifully photographed blog that documents her quest to woo her boyfriend with bread and meat creations. We now reveal that the woman behind the blog is our very own Page Six senior reporter, Stephanie Smith. So the idea was, he said in jest one time that, honey, you're 300 sandwiches away from that engagement ring. And so now she's like
taking it seriously,
but not really.
Wait, let me read the about me. It's like, make me a sandwich. That's my boyfriend. E asked me without fail every morning, not babe, where are my keys? Not honey, where are my socks? And not even, come on, just the tip. And then it's like, there's two things my boyfriend does well. It's like, ask for sandwiches and talk about Star Wars.
Ugh.
And then one time he, while watching Star Wars, he said, you're 300 sandwiches away from an engagement ring. And so it's not like, I don't know. I was like, wow, you reading off of her blog, it's like, your boyfriend sounds like a fucking loser.
Yeah. Like it's not, everybody turned it into this thing where it's like, you shouldn't be forced to make sandwiches, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah. No one's forcing her. She's just dating like the internet's biggest, like the tip of the bell curve of internet idiot. He like likes Star Wars and he says, make me a sandwich. Yeah. Sometimes in bed, he shouts first, like fucking.
I hadn't heard that before.
You know what I mean?
Where her titties are fake and gay.
Yeah. Sometimes when I look
bad. Totally Photoshop.
If I put on the wrong dress, he says 2 out of 10 would not bang.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot more shocking forms of aggressive misogyny than that. Like it sounds like she could do better, but who knows? Maybe she's got like a donkey face. Like I don't know.
The only
maybe maybe she's great at sandwiches, but just like constantly kicks dogs just over and over again. And it's not like not even her dog. I mean, she might be dating this guy because she's got a terrible personality.
Well, she writes for Page Six, so she probably has a terrible personality.
I don't know what that is.
It's a celebrity gossip column.
It's the New York Post gossip column.
Yeah. It's like,
it's basically like the National Enquirer, TMZ.
Right.
Yeah. So both these people can go fuck themselves regardless of their sandwich pictures.
I think the big issue,
like, they deserve each other. The end.
The issue is like, if she's okay with it, then end of story. Like, yeah. It's not like, I feel like people are being mad on her behalf. It's like,
are you trying to say that people who read the internet are engaging in projection?
I feel like that's shocked. What I'm saying, but I feel that's like a smart way of saying what I'm trying to say, which is like, people need to chill, bro. No, I just...
Where are you from?
Okay. The internet. Okay. Yeah.
How about you, sir? How long have you guys been dating? 6 months. Okay.
Well, that's my time.
Okay. Push start making sandwiches.
Thanks for letting me perform, everybody.
Yeah, people need to relax. People need to relax. If she wants to make him 300 sandwiches... More power to her. That's great. That's great. That's a wonderful relationship that she wouldn't be, number one, offended by his comment. Know that it came from a place of love and maybe jest. And that she would actually go through and make the sandwiches. Good for her. She wants to make
sandwiches. Just look great. They are great looking sandwiches.
Yeah. I saw a picture of a sandwich and I was like, you know what? I would marry her after 300 of those sandwiches. And she got a donkey face. You're not. And her boobs are faking gay.
It's I mean,
you better
know
how to make a sandwich with them fake gay boobs of yours.
I don't get the desire to jump in and try and fight battles that, I mean, if you're a woman, you're gonna have like three dudes a week be horrible fucking assholes to you.
Right.
You know, there's plenty of opportunities to fight the patriarchy. Yeah. I don't know if you need to jump in on other people's uninterested behalfs. Like, there's plenty of examples you were going to face in your day-to-day life because, you know, you were in a bad power situation.
The funny thing is, no one seems to really be jumping down her throat from what I've read. Everyone's just saying, this guy is a fucking asshole, which I feel like she fucked up a little bit, or this is all part of a plan to not finish making the sandwiches.
Oh.
Like, she was like, I don't want to keep making these sandwiches. I'll write about how happy I am making this douchebag some sandwiches, and then everyone will get on his case because no one's getting on her case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're that's a powerful play. Yeah, I like that.
That is a good play, I think. She's doing
that. Is some Page Six shit right there where she has seen the dynamics of human interaction.
Yeah, she gets it.
That's some Varys and Littlefinger shit from Game of Thrones. So while we're talking about the worst people on the internet, I don't know what got me started on this, but on Sunday, I was looking up stuff on Twitter where people were yelling at athletes, yelling at football players about their fantasy team. And first of all, I just went to a really dark place for like an hour where I just wanted to like shuffle on off this mortal coil because I don't want to live in this world where someone's just like, fuck you, bro, you ruined my fantasy team.
Damn.
He's like, do you know how much I practice? You know how much work goes into me ruining your fantasy team, you garbage human?
Right. I lost the tip of a finger, and you're fucking talking to me about your fantasy team.
And that's a brutal tip of the finger, too. That didn't look like it got cleanly sliced off. That looked like it straight up exploded forward.
Yeah.
What game was that?
Cardinals. Cardinals safety. Was he doesn't even know how it happened. Yeah, I mean, he plays special teams mostly. He doesn't even know how it happened. He just said he took his glove off and the tip of his middle finger was still in it.
Man.
Whoa.
It was gnarly.
That's nuts. How's he doing?
He's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
He tweeted out pictures of it. But, so anyway, for the people in the world who direct Twitter bile at NFL players for ruining their fantasy team, you're truly fighting the good fight. You're doing God's work.
Also, anybody that's talking about their fantasy team, like you know, loud enough for other people to hear in a public place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, 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 please go die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, fantasy teams should be treated with the shame that used to be associated with reading comic books in public.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you can talk all you want about your fantasy team with people in your league. Right. By all means, that's a great way to socialize. Just never let it pass those boundaries.
No, I think that's a good rule.
I do not care at all. And granted, I know that I read my fantasy team, but that was more for laughs about how shitty they were. But the second someone goes like, so here's the deal. I'm up 6 on Todd and it's coming down to the Monday night game. And all of a sudden they sub in Noshon Moreno on the goal line. And I'm like, fuck. I want to tune out. Actually, I want to jump out the window.
All right. Do you guys want to play the name game?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so how does this work? We're all gonna pick one from each bracket.
The way it works is there's a name of the year, full 64, or it looks like it's not 60. Oh yeah, 64 name bracket, similar to NCAA basketball. So I don't know the best way to we can just sort of each pick one from each quadrant. There's the Boltron Regional, the Dragon Wagon Regional, the Sit Hole Regional, and the Crotch Tangle Regional.
All right. Well, let's do it. We'll each pick 4, and then, you know, whoever's won wins gets to call the other guys fake and gay.
Sweet.
All right. Is someone writing this down?
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
All right. Are we snake drafting?
Yes.
Ah, snake.
What determines the order?
Draft like snake. Let's go left to right, followed by the guys on the internet.
I'm on the left. Snake.
So does that mean Lieb first?
Yeah, him, then you, me.
All right.
Let's go. Wait, no. Let's go cancer guy first.
Him, then you, me?
Well, it really should just be pick whatever 4 names you want. Shouldn't matter.
No, we got to do snake draft.
I like snake draft.
All right, so we'll start with, we'll go Ben, Matt, Brendan, me, Brett.
Fucking Ooh, garbage. Wow. Yeah. I'm on the hump?
Yeah, you are. Hump that.
So are we doing one from each quadrant, or should we just do 4 names total?
No, well, yeah, we'll do one from each quadrant.
One
from each quadrant, 4 names, right. so four names total.
I'll start off. This is not a 1 seed. It's a 4 seed from the Dragon Wagon Regional. It really stands out to me. I just like the name a lot.
We're starting in Dragon Wagon?
You can pick any order. Yeah,
you can pick wherever you want. I'm just going, the one that stands out to me is from the Dragon Wagon Regional, and that's Smokey Don Pipes.
Strong first overall pick.
These are all real names, just to clarify.
Yeah. Well, they said they confirmed, so they're supposed to be real names.
Okay. Mr. Lieb.
All right. You know what? I'm going to go from the Boltron Regional. Their 13th seed. Marijuana War. Now, he's not going to have home court advantage in any of these, but I think he's got it.
Brandon?
Oh, man. It's so hard. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to go with Vince can be pissed. I'm going to go with Yolanda Squat Pump.
Damn you.
that's also in the Boltron Regional.
That's in the Boltron Regional. I almost spit my coffee out this morning when I saw Yolanda Squat Pump.
Fucking Yolanda Squat Pump is like the Adrian Peterson of the name game.
Yeah. It's true. It's like that's your whole team right there.
Ah, all right. Well, that means I gotta dig deep here and come up with what I'm going to come up with. I like it when it's just got a regular first name and then the last name is just so amazing that it just makes everything better.
Agreed. I like that. Stay out of my territory. You know, I like a well-rounded team.
Okay. Damn it.
Clock's a ticking, man.
I know.
You're going to auto draft here.
All right. I got it. I'm going to go from the Boltron Regional also. Dr. David L. Dickensheets.
That's more like that they included the doctor, so you know he's boss.
Yeah, you can't have that one without a middle initial and a title.
I don't know. Are we gonna have a winner, or are we just gonna knock each other out? Because there's a lot. Boltron is strong.
Yeah.
Boltron's, but there's a lot of dark horses in the other regionals.
Oh, wait, no, we're all each picking from one.
Correct.
That's we're right. Each
okay. Gonna, we will each, you can pick in any order, but you need one from each regional.
That's right. We will each end up with one name from each regional.
Correct.
Correct.
Brett?
No,
so,
Vince, go twice.
No,
Brett, I'm on the hump.
Brett's on the hump.
Oh, sorry.
This.
Hey, well, you heard.
You heard what we got.
You heard what we got. Exactly. So that's what you got. And for that, I'm sorry. There's not much I could do, though. Anyway, we'll be back next week. Frotcast@gmail.com. Google Voice is 415-275-0030.
And you know what, Vince? Good night and good chins.
Or good morning.
Good morning and good wins?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.